You guys ready to give? Because I'm in charge of announcements today, so we're just going to do the offering and get busy, buddy. The talkative one isn't among us, so. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for all you do for us and all that you give. And Lord, we praise you and honor you today. We thank you for your spirit in this room already. Lord, that you're moving in our hearts and changing our lives and transforming us. And we ask you to bless this offering in Jesus' name. Amen. Right ahead, guys. Open your Bibles up to Acts chapter 10. Please. Becky Fudge, are you going to the back? Did y'all see the early shows of Gunsmoke? Anybody? Remember Gunsmoke? Remember, I can't remember the actor's name, but he played a young guy in it because he was young then, and he had a limp. What was his name? Chester, that's right. Yeah. Becky's got a limp too because she swears she dropped something on her toe, but I think she just kicked somebody too hard. Oh, my. That's terrible. When you told me that story, I thought she meant a laptop, a 5-pound laptop. Woo. Anyway, y'all keep Becky in your prayers because there's nothing like having something that hurts, man. Every time you move, every time you breathe, every time, anyway. Oh, good God. Amen. You guys all right today? Yeah, the weather's changed a little bit, kinda. And then the air conditioner upstairs thought that it would celebrate and just stop working. So we'll see our good friend Russell tomorrow, I hope. Praise God. You guys in Acts 10? Okay, good, because I'm going to start in Acts 11. But we're going to talk about the same story. It's really good. You know, when you think about the disciples, the apostles, after the ascension and after the indwelling of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, right? And you and the transformation that has happened in Peter. And you think about, you know, sometimes we try to apply it and bring everything. Mike, can you go out the door there? Can you go out the door and flip that switch on the wall and turn these fans on? If I see them turning, I'll feel better. We try to move everything in our time and apply it to us. And so when we think about like the distances between cities or what they did or how they lived their daily lives, we our first thought is they live like us, but they did not live like us. For one, they're Middle Eastern. People in the Middle East do not live like us now, right? I mean, the Saudis are driving Bugattis. Is that how you say that? You know, there's this maker of a car. They're only going to make 30 of them, but they go 300 miles an hour. Yeah, I'm claiming one of those, buddy. No, I'm kidding. There's no way I can drive these curves at 300 miles an hour. But we try to put things in our concept instead of trying to understand them. So it's always fun when you read something, a book in the Bible, like the book of Acts, that you have something to kind of put you back into that mode. Like you can go back and watch the series, the Bible 8, what was it? The Bible AD, was that what it was? It was really good. And then the Chosen series is really good, showing you how people lived then. But I've noticed that one thing that they don't bring out enough is the complete and utter oppression of Rome. You can't, as Americans, we don't understand the empire that Rome was. Just the shadow, the reach of its legality, the reach of it. You could die at any instant. And if you were a Roman citizen, you had rights that other people didn't have. And if you were a higher class Roman citizen, if you were descended from an old family, an old Roman family, you even had more rights. Even as a woman could divorce her husband, and she oftentimes would keep her father's family money when her father passed away, and she didn't have to share it with her husband, and it was hers, and he couldn't touch it. I mean, it was, they had, so when you think of Judea in this time, and they called it Palestinia, they had a Latin word for it, I just can't remember off the top of my head, but it's, there was always a Roman garrison nearby. There were cities in Judea that were completely Roman. If you went to one of them, you would have thought you were in Italy somewhere. I mean, they were exact copies of cities. They had Colosseums. They had everything, a gymnasium. They had anything that a Roman city would have in Italy, they had in Judea in these cities. One of these cities was Caesarea, which we're going to talk about today, okay? And another, there were a lot of cities in Judea. There was Tiberias on the lake that doesn't even enter into the Bible, even though it existed in the times of the Bible, and Jesus probably visited there. And there was another one just north of Bethlehem. We always say that Bethlehem was out in the middle of nowhere, but actually it wasn't. There was a large metropolis just a few miles, about 7 miles north of Bethlehem. Not Bethlehem, Nazareth. So you have to kind of, you have to either read something or you need to watch something that to kind of get you a feel. So when you read these words, you don't see pavement under their feet, even though Roman did pave the roads with stones, but you see dust. You feel the heat. People were constantly trying to survive. And then if you were a Judean, if you were Jewish, you lived in a nation that wasn't yours, in a land that God had given your ancestors, and had been taken away by empire after empire after empire after empire. You guys all right? So we're starting in Acts 11. I'm just going to read you just a little bit, and then I'm going to tell you the story, and then we're going to read a bit of Acts chapter 10. So in Acts chapter 11, verse 1, Peter goes to Jerusalem to report on Gentiles being saved, because it's freaking everybody out. If y'all don't know what a Gentile is, look at your neighbor, because they are one. We are all Gentiles. Anybody born Jewish in here? No? Then we're all Gentiles. And so when you see that a Gentile is getting blessed in the Bible, you ought to get happy. I mean, you just should. Because for a thousand years, Jewish people believed they were the only people God dealt with. Even though we had Tamar and Rahab and Ruth, and some people think that Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, was also a Gentile woman. But anyway, here we go. Acts 11, starting verse 1, it says, "Now the apostles and the brothers and the sisters who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also accepted the word of God." Now this isn't the Bible, because when you read the word of God in Acts, it's not talking about the Bible. You know, it does, because this didn't exist then. Yes, they had scrolls. Yes, people who were literate read them. But it's not like you carried a Bible with you. You couldn't carry all the scrolls with you. You know, you just okay then. Tear everything up. Tommy the Terrific. So my mom used to call me Tom Terrific. Remember that guy, that cartoon? Yeah. Okay, good. Herman. Not the only old guy in the room, yeah, who watched cartoons. So, who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles accepted the word of God, which means they heard the gospel, that Jesus died and rose again and is in heaven, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, okay? So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, he's the circumcised, in my Bible says believers, but it's not that word is actually not in the Greek. It says the circumcised believers criticized him, saying, why did you go to uncircumcised men and eat with them? He went and ate with Gentiles. Oh, it's terrible. So let me tell you what happened. All right. There was a centurion in Caesarea. Caesarea was a completely Roman city, and it was the seat of government in Palestinia. It's where the governor was at, except during the time of Agrippa the One. But Agrippa the One actually lived there too. Agrippa the One. That's good. That's really good, Tommy. He was never called Agrippa the One, except in my mind. So anyway, it was a city on the coast. It was a beautiful city. In fact, Tel Aviv is just a little north of where it was actually at, and Tel Aviv actually took its place. Okay, it's a beautiful coastline. If you've never been to Israel, which I have not, but I've seen pictures. So there, So this centurion named Cornelius is a devout man, the Bible says. And he gives alms to the poor, which means not just Gentiles, because he's a Roman centurion. A Roman centurion is somebody who has worked their way up through the rank. They're not an aristocrat. They don't have a long family history with Rome. They're never going to be an elected person, you know. They don't have a lot of money. They have been a good soldier, and they have leadership skills, and they have worked their way up to where he is. So this man Cornelius is praying and worshiping, and an angel appears to him and tells him that he has found favor with God, that God has heard his prayers and seen his incense that he's burning, and has come up as a memorial to God. And God says, I want you to send men to Joppa to bring Simon, who's called Peter. He's staying at Simon the Tanner's house in Joppa by the sea. Go get him. And so Cornelius is freaked out because he's never seen an angel before, right? But, you know, he's a Roman. And just because he's devout doesn't mean that he doesn't believe that he's a Christian the way that you are a Christian, that he knows what you know. Okay? What it means is that he's lived in Judea long enough to recognize, and he has adopted the worship of Yahweh where he is. Doesn't mean he doesn't really worship Zeus too. It doesn't mean he doesn't mean, because it would have been, you'll see in the story. So he sends people up to Joppa. So in Joppa, Peter's in Joppa, right? And it's noon, and Peter is, goes up to the roof of the house because he's waiting for the noon meal to be made and for whatever they were going to have. I would assume they were going to have fish because they live by the sea. So Peter's up there and he's praying, and all of a sudden he goes into what Luke describes as a trance. And he sees this vision of a sheet coming down with all kinds of four-footed animals and slithering animals and all kinds of animals that a good Jewish person would never consume for food. Would never. I mean, you know, we're talking shrimp and crawfish and crabs, right? I mean, have you seen the price of crabs? I mean, you know, you got to really want to eat a crab, right? And then I always have to eat something before I eat crab because it takes me so long to get to the good stuff. My aunt stopped me one time, my favorite aunt, Aunt B, I was eating crabs because we'd gone crabbing in Lake Charles, and we caught all these crabs, and she boiled them, and they were so good, and I was starving, and I just popped them babies open and started eating stuff, and she said, hey, whoa, that's not the stuff you eat. I said, really? Because it tastes just like everything else you gave me. It tastes good. Anyway. So Peter sees all this stuff, and there's a voice that says, God tells Peter, says, get up and eat. And Peter says, no, I've never eaten any of this stuff. I follow the Mosaic food laws, right? I'm sure he didn't use those words, but let's just say that this morning. So the sheet comes down again. It happens three times. And every time Peter says, I've never eaten anything profane. I've never eaten anything that's defiled. I've never eaten anything unclean. The voice says, don't call something unclean that God has made clean. Wow. And Peter wakes up. And just as he wakes up, there's a knock on the door at the gate outside. These men from Joppa that Cornelius has sent, they're outside the gate wanting to come in, and they're being respectful because messengers from Cornelius, a Roman centurion, they could have opened the gate very easily. Nobody would have stopped them. Even if they crossed a hospitality line there, they still would have been fine. But they didn't do that. They were respectful of the home. And because most Jews didn't allow non-Jews to come into their home. Ever. Because it would defile the home to have unchosen people in your home. I have to say that so many times because I have to wrap my mind around it. But so they go down and they said, we've come from Cornelius, and he has asked Peter to come down there. And Peter, who just had this dream, right, who God told him three times, don't call unclean what I've called clean. And so Peter says, that's great. And he invites them in because it's noon. They probably rode horses up there. And so he comes in and he says, y'all stay with us tonight. And we'll, you know, and they dine together. And they slept in that Jewish home that night. And the next day, the Bible says the following day, they went down to Joppa, which is about 40 miles, I think, from Caesarea south to Joppa, which the Bible says they made it in a day. I don't know if it could have been 40 miles, because I don't think I could have walked 40 miles. I don't know if I could ride a horse for 40 miles in a day. So, I mean, because you try to put yourself, I could get Karen's car, I could be there, you know, and put Karen driving, I could be there in 10 minutes, but on a straight road. We were younger. We used to go to Dallas from North Louisiana. It was about a 3.5, it was about a 4-hour drive. There was a restaurant out there we just loved to eat steak at because it was inexpensive, and it was really good steak back then. It's not anymore. But we were going on a trip. She and I were going to I don't know where we were going. Anyway, we were going on a trip. We were going to go get the kids down in Kerrville. That's what it was. They were camping with their grandparents down in Kerrville. And so I get off work at, we leave the house at like, I want to say 6:15, right? And it's a good 4.5 hours to this restaurant on a good day. So I put Karen driving and I went to sleep because I'd been up since 5 and I was tired. And so I woke up, we got out, went into the restaurant, and I slept the whole way and went in there, and we ordered, and the waitress brought us this. They had, I don't know, in Texas they have like a, it's like an 84-ounce glass of tea. I mean, it's wonderful. Golly, it was so good. It's over a half a gallon. So they brought me one of those, and I'm sitting there sipping that, eating bread, and all of a sudden I just look at my watch, and it is 9:30. She has cut an hour and a half off easily because we had to wait to get in. We had to wait to get a seat. So that's why I tell the story. When I ever I put Karen behind the wheel, that car's moving. Okay? I'm just telling you. She's not here today to correct me. So anyway. So the next day they get up and they walk down to Joppa, right? Which is modern day Haifa. And so they get there and Cornelius falls down in front of Peter and begins to worship him and honor him because he's just amazed that Peter, this apostle, is in his home. And Peter gets up, tells him to get up. I am just a man. And he tells him, he puts him at ease and he says, God gave me this dream not to call anything unclean that God has made clean. And it just eased the centurion's mind. He had invited his friends and all of his servants. The Bible says that he invited his family. He had his family and his close friends and his servants there. Now, the thing about a centurion is they can't get married. I mean, and many of them have a woman that's like a wife, but not a wife. I'll just say it like that, because they move around a lot. And this guy's a very important Roman because this is the seat of authority. And he's over the Italian cohort, which is a part of the legion that was there. And it's an honor to be where he is. I mean, he could have been stuck out and he could have been anywhere, you know? I mean, none of them liked to go to Judea, but if you went to Judea, you wanted to go to Caesarea, okay? So he was an important centurion. And here this man is, and Peter tells him that what God makes clean, I can't call unclean, which is a new thing for Peter because he comes from a long tradition of eating only kosher food, right? Of course, they didn't call it kosher then. They just followed the Mosaic laws. And we don't really follow Mosaic food laws, do we? Uh-uh. Here's a test to see if you do. Anybody ever not had pulled pork? Now in Arkansas, I don't know how you can breathe and not have pulled pork. I think as a church, I think we've had pulled pork like 5 or 6 times. I'm about ready for another pulled pork, you know? In fact, talking about pulled pork, first time I ever had pulled pork was in Arkansas. Reggie Moffitt took me to the little red building down the road. That was a barbecue place then, and it was really good. He's the one that taught me to put coleslaw and pepper jack cheese on your pulled pork sandwich. That's good stuff. So we're picking up the story in Acts 10. You guys are in Acts 10, right? You're okay out there? You follow the story so far? Kinda. I know I jump around. So in Acts 10, starting in verse 34, Peter says, I truly understand that God shows no partiality. Makes me happy. But in every people, anyone who fears him and practices righteousness is acceptable to him. Oh, Peter, it's so much more than that. You know, the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That message spread through all Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Amen? How many of you ever quoted that scripture before? How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Amen? Well, I tell you what, that's a get you up in the morning, right? We are all witnesses to all that he did in Judea and Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear. Not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God to judge the living and the dead. As the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. And At that moment, the Holy Spirit just fell on top of those Gentiles. While he was still, while Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit couldn't wait for Peter to stop talking. It's funny to me. But anyway, the Spirit of God fell, just like it fell on the day of Pentecost. It fell on these Gentiles. And now we know that Cornelius was a devout worshiper of Yahweh because the Bible tells us that. But if he invited his servants and his friends, they could have all been pagan. They could have worshiped Zeus or any of the other gods, of the Roman gods. And they had a whole pantheon, right? Some of them could have been, I don't know, they could have been people you wouldn't want to eat with. I mean, a good Jewish person, aside from the fact that they were Gentile, no good Jewish person wanted to eat with a Roman, especially a Roman centurion. He not only represented an unchosen nation, one of the nations, but he also represented the empire, and he was an arm of the oppression of the empire. We've never lived in a time like that. You and I have never been oppressed like that. You and I have never had to live and breathe for hundreds of generations underneath an empire that we don't get it sometimes. For Peter to be here in this moment, I bet you there would have been other apostles that would have, they're just not listed, but they're not very happy with Peter for eating with Gentiles, for taking people as God, as you find them, going where God sent him. But it's amazing to me that Peter made this turnaround. Because that's real growth in Peter. That's spiritual maturity in Peter. You have to recognize that, right? Growing out of the traditions that we grew up with, the assumptions that were made, that we're taught. My sister, she's in heaven now, and she'll probably get me for telling this story, but when she was 16, she got singled out at church because she had put, like, I don't know, some blush on. And this was in the 50s? No, it's probably in the 60s, because she graduated in 61 or 62. So she, remember Pastor Piker? He came to church here for a while. It was his uncle. It was his uncle. And I told Pastor Piker the story, but she never went back to church. She just said, nope, if you're gonna embarrass me like that, I'm just not going to go, right? I mean, he couldn't be in the room with a woman with blush on without calling it out. What would he do at TBN? You know, sometimes the things that we think are so important are not important to God. I mean, And scholars look at this story, this vision that Peter had, and they come away with a lot of thoughts. One of them is that this is showing that God has done away with all the Mosaic food laws, which I don't know if they can get that out of there or not, because the point of the vision wasn't about food, it was about people. Right? Right? So, and Jews today still follow, Orthodox Jews and fundamental Jews still follow the food laws. In different, they have Reformed Jews. They have many different denominations of Jewish people, just like there's many denominations and difference of opinion in Christians. Right? I mean, we have churches that won't have instruments. We have churches that can't have drums. We have, of course, I guess we could fall for one of those because our drummer hadn't been here in 2 months, huh? He's fighting crime, so he says. He likes to drive fast and carry a gun. Oh. So what can we learn from this? Because it's a great story, isn't it? You like to see Peter learn things, right? And I do love the part of the story where the Holy Spirit didn't wait for Peter to stop talking, because he had learned that, you know, that moment may never come. So what we can learn from this is, I got three things. Is that good? Yeah. You guys all right? Yeah. We're going to get out of here early today. God loves the whole of humanity. Even though Jesus had told Nicodemus that for God so loved the world, the cosmos, that he sent his only son, right? Now, granted, that was a private conversation with Nicodemus, but I bet you Jesus said those same words to Jews all over Judea. I bet he said that line a whole lot of times. And Peter had been with the Lord when they were walking in the area of Tyre and Sidon, and he healed that woman's daughter, that was the Phoenician woman who was not Jewish, and he healed her daughter of being demon-possessed just because she showed faith. She showed belief. What's more than that, all this is coming to me as I'm talking to you, is that Jesus also, there was another time. Well, Jesus healed the ear of the guard that Peter sliced off. Even if he was a good Jew, Peter didn't think he needed to keep living, huh? But you got to see that God reached out. Oh, here's the one I was thinking about. There was another centurion who had a servant that was sick. Remember that? And God healed, Jesus healed that servant. And so Jesus had been showing them that God doesn't show partiality. God doesn't play favorites. Every one of us are God's favorites. Now, I know, I say all the time, I'm Jesus' favorite, but you're Jesus' favorite too. Every one of you. Jesus loves the whole of humanity. It's a struggle for us to love people that we love. It's a struggle for us to maintain a good relationship with a lot of people that we're in relationship with. God loves everyone the same. Peter grew in his perception and his perspective from God in this incident. But it didn't stop him from shunning Gentiles later on, and Paul getting in his face, because Paul gives us an account of it in Galatians. Because Peter had been eating with non-Jewish people in Antioch, and then when the Jewish believers got there, he separated himself because they wouldn't eat with non-Jewish people, so he wouldn't eat with non-Jewish people while they were there. And Paul got into his face over it, because even when you learn a lesson, sometimes you have to relearn it, right? That's not even one of the points, but that's good. Number two, God takes us as he finds us. God moved on Cornelius, even though he was a part of an empire, he was part of an oppressive people. Cornelius didn't have everything right. But because he had a heart for God, God used him to break down the barrier in Peter's mind that God could only anoint Jewish people. It's amazing to me how people put people in little classes. It's almost like we're still in high school. These are some of these people. So I try not to ever do that. It comes natural to every human being. Karen and I are rewatching Downton Abbey because I forgot some of the characters. And so it's amazing to me to see how people live downstairs and upstairs and how the different classes worked. And thank God for Tom. I just love Tom. Of course, Sybil was always my favorite character too, until she died. But watching that, it shows how naturally people want to separate people into groups, into acceptable and not acceptable. But God takes every one of us just like He finds us. God can move in all of our lives. God can move in anyone's life. That would have been a good place for an amen. We all have people in our lives that we think, man, they're a hard to reach person. But not for God. They're not hard to reach for Him. We need to pray over their hearts that they'd be softened, that their minds would be open, that their eyes would be open. We need to pray the same prayer over us. Because how many of us are walking around like Peter, putting people in different classes? God can do this, but He can't do this. God can move with these people, but He can't move with those people. We're all going to heaven, but those people in that other church, they're not. Oh, my. Number three. You guys okay? God's ways are higher and sweeter and more loving than the culture and the religious traditions that are passed down to us. In fact, Paul said that the love of God is so much greater that it can't even be understood in one age by a multitude of people who were empowered together by the Spirit to grasp how high and long and wide and deep is the love of God in Christ Jesus. That is amazing, isn't it? We don't give. When we look at people we don't like, because Peter, until he saw that vision, he would have been perfectly fine thinking, God can't fill Gentiles with the Spirit because we're the chosen people. It says so in the Mosaic Law, we're chosen. Until you realize that every human ever born has been chosen for God. That's what makes Paul write the words that we were all in Him from the foundation of the earth. So understanding truths like this, these three truths, that God loves the whole of humanity, that He always takes people as He finds people, and that His ways, He is more loving than we can understand. Those are the things that help you grow as a believer. They help Peter grow. They'll help us grow. Amen? Let's all stand to our feet. It's 11:19. We shaved off 11 minutes without Karen here today. I can't wait to tell her. She'll tell me I miss God. So anyway, Father, we just thank You, Lord. God, that You love everyone, even people we don't. But You love everyone, the whole of humanity, from the first person to all the people ever born. Father, You loved us all deeply. And Lord, I ask You to open our eyes and grow our hearts, to let us tear down fences and bring unity in the body of Christ, not just in within our body of Christ, but within the body of Christ as a whole, that we see people the way that You see people, and that we believe in them and the potential of You in them as You do. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a wonderful afternoon. It's a good day to relax.